was such an enlightening experience to hear Chaitanya Charan Prabhu giving a Vedic perspective of the Harry Potter book. If we think very deeply, why do we all like to go to movies? Think about this question very deeply. Because in this world, everyone wants to be a hero. But in normal life, you can't be a hero. But when you go to a movie, you imagine yourself to be the hero of that movie. If you think deeply, you know, they close all the doors and windows. It's pitch dark. They put off all the lights. And you see the moving illusion on the screen. And you think, I am that hero. And when you see that hero who is emerging victoriously, then you feel some false satisfaction. Yes, I have made it in my life. So that hero has a heroine also. And he is succeeding in every part of his life. So you feel very happy. And if some tragedy happens to the hero, you also cry. Because you think it is you. Or if he wins the hand of a girlfriend, then you also feel joyful as if you have won. So, all of us are certainly always aiming at a utopian world of joy. Where you will not have any suffering. You will always have happiness. Where you will have information about everything. You'll be completely knowledgeable. And you also imagine a utopian world where you will never die. You will always exist. So, if there is a craving for immortality, there has to be immortality. If there is a craving for happiness, there has to be eternal happiness. If there is a craving for an ideal situation, there has to be an ideal world. Animals cannot understand it. Just like animals are running here and there, in a desert, searching for water, not knowing that the mirage can never satisfy them. But human beings know the very presence of mirage is a proof that there must be some fresh cooling waters elsewhere. But a dog or some ordinary animal cannot understand that. Human beings can certainly understand that. Similarly, our chase for happiness in this world, and that too is not an ordinary chase, a mad chase, we can say. Prabhupada gives a beautiful example. A dog got a coconut. And the dog was trying to bite the coconut, tear the coconut with his hand. And all he got was only the fiber in the top. He could not get the shell out, break it, and then get the coconut pulp and the coconut water. He could not experience it. But he was beating the coconut again and again, biting it and rolling it on the ground. In the same manner, Prabhupada says, all of us who are pure souls, covered by this material body, which is like a coconut fiber. This material body is like coconut fiber. We are trying to rub this fiber with the opposite sex and are trying to get some happiness. But this fiber will never give happiness because happiness is not in the external fiber. It is in the soul inside, which is like the real coconut pulp and the water. And unless we awaken the dormant soul and its relationship with Krishna, God, one can never experience true happiness. And as Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was very beautifully presenting today, when you look at the modern man, his life is very frustrating. He feels stress, hypertension. He wants some relief from boredom. So he wants anything. There are many people who even go to temple for some relief from their stress. Or they go to movie for relief from some stress. But the question is, you may be able to temporarily have some stress relief plan by going to some place. But you have to make a very careful choice. Why? Like we were discussing some time ago, that if you are reading, somebody asked the question, is it wrong to read such novels? Because after all, it reduces our tension. You know, you can be in a dream world, you know, at least for some period of time, so you can forget the problems of the world, you know. It can take you to another realm so that you can live peacefully. It appears to be very innocent, but it is not only a waste of time, it is also very dangerous. Why dangerous? There are many detective novels in America which became very famous over a period of time. But later on, the criminal policemen found that those detective novels were the cause of many of the murders in America. Like, for example, the witchcraft, talisman, and many of the things that people do, they do after reading these kind of novels. And people get into similar things. They learn ideas from this, because it is said, watch your thoughts, they'll become words. Watch your words, they'll become actions. Watch your actions, because they will form a habit. And watch your habits, they will form your character. And watch your character, otherwise they'll become your culture. So we say Indian culture or Western culture. How did we attain the culture? It all began with a thought. So whatever inputs you give to your system, and they are going to be stored in your brain cells, and you are going to mold your personality imperceptibly, unknowingly. Now let us compare reading Harry Potter novel and reading literatures like, you know, Ramayana, Mahabharata and other literatures. There's a big difference. For example, when you read mundane material literature, they are simply phantasmagoria. You don't derive any benefit from them. Excerpts for the temporary relief you got for some time. That's all you get. But when we read spiritual literature, it can be practically shown. Prabhupada told one disciple who was always used to becoming very angry. Prabhupada told him, you study the Narsingha Leela, he said. So all your anger will be evaporated. Why? When you see the angry Lord Narsimha, your anger will be gone. If you hear the pastime of Prahlada and Narsingha. In this way you can subdue, or you can become free from many of the bestial qualities, animalistic qualities. For example, it is said when you read the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, it is said one's lust in one's heart, which is called as a heart disease, will be destroyed. Shukadeva Goswami is asking in Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is such a great Lord that carrying him in one's heart, the sages and saints are traversing all over the globe, completely free from lust, free from pride, free from anger, leading a very pure life. So it is not like watching a movie where a hero is dancing with some girls. It's not like that. When one reads about Krishna more and more, what is the proof? You have living proofs in front of your eyes. You can see there are so many students, there are so many brahmacharis, there are so many congregations. All these people, how are they living? You see their lifestyle. After hearing about Krishna, have they become purified or have they become putrefied? You can ask this question to yourself. But by reading the mundane novels, it is very putrefying to the mind. In fact, one will indulge in wrong things after reading novels. Like when people read pornography books, they indulge in dirty things. Whereas when we read literature related to spirituality, you become elevated, you give up the lower qualities. Similarly, we have a desire to hear something very chivalrous. Like for example, today he was so beautifully narrating the fight between Brihanala or Arjuna and the Kaurava sidemen, isn't it? So when you hear these kind of pastimes, on one hand, you feel great joy also in the heart. No? Because you also have some Kshatriya spirit in you, and when that is awakened, you feel very great joy. At the same time, your respect for Arjuna also will increase. You will understand Arjuna is not an ordinary person. And most importantly, what is Arjuna's consciousness in relation to Krishna? What does Arjuna think about Krishna? Of course, he treats Krishna as a friend, but he is Krishna's devotee. So here, a great hero like Arjuna is highlighted. You develop attachment to Arjuna, and then you see Arjuna is worshipping Krishna as a devotee, so you also become Krishna devotee by reading that. So this is how the Shastric literatures, the literatures like Mahabharata, Ramayana. Like you see Ramayana, what is central theme of Ramayana? Ravana was lusty for another man's wife, he was destroyed. Hanuman became servant of Lord Ram, he became glorious. So what is the morality you learn? So you also become Lord's devotee. What is the underlying theme of Mahabharata? Pandavas were 5, Kauravas were 100, but still Kauravas were destroyed. Why? Because they followed the path of Adharma. And the Pandavas won. Why? Because Lord Krishna was on their side. They were on the side of Dharma. Just see, hearing this literature actually purifies and nourishes our heart and elevates us. Unlike the modern day phantasmagoria literatures, where quite often the villain sometimes is portrayed as the hero. Like some time ago, Chandran was giving a lecture on how in Bombay there are big posters portraying Ravana as the hero, isn't it? What did they say?
They would say that Ravana shakti dekhi par bhakti nahi dekhi. So they were portraying Ravana as a bhakta.
They are portraying Ravana as a bhakta of Shiva, and that is true. We don't deny that. But although he was a devotee of Shiva, why did Shiva not come to protect Ravana when Lord Rama was killing him? In fact, at that time, Lord Shiva and Parvati were going through the Akashmarg. Even Parvati was requesting Shiva, just look at your devotee, Ravana. He's going to be killed by Ram. And Ravana looked down and said, I can't help him. Why? Because he has taken a dangerous path. If somebody tries to hunt for another man's wife, then he has to be destroyed. You see, Lord Shiva gave him up. And modern man is trying to portray Ravana as a hero. In South India, one man wrote a book called as Ravana Kavyam, where he is trying to portray Ravana as a hero. So in this way, when modern man is concocting his own ideas of somebody to be a hero and makes that hero, highlights that hero by writing books like this, and when we read those literatures, our mind will become polluted and contaminated. And we may also indulge in wrong things in our lives. We are not going to become purified. It's not going to elevate us. And I also wanted to make another important point about the reality of the spiritual world. In the beginning, you may have a suspicion in your mind. Is that really a spiritual world? Is that really Krishna? Are all these things really true? There is a likelihood of such doubts. In order to eradicate such doubts, Lord Krishna himself very logically explains in the scriptures. You see, you cannot see the spiritual world with your eyes. You cannot see the Lord with your eyes. But the things that you can see around you, based on that you can come to some understanding of the unseen. From the seen, you understand the unseen. Like X-ray, you don't get to see, you know, X-rays. But how do you know X-ray exists? By seeing a photographic plate. The reflection on a photographic plate, you can see that. None of you have seen an electron, although you may be studying electronics and telecommunication or, you know, electrical and electronics you may be studying. No one has seen an electron till date. But although all of us have a firm faith that an entity called electron exists, right? How do we know? Because you can see it on a CRT. The electron, the reflection from an electron is moving on a CRT. Based on that, you can know. Similarly, look at the world around you. How many of you agree that there are people who are outstandingly beautiful than others? How many of you agree to this fact? Yeah. Okay. Almost 90%. Anybody here doesn't agree that no one in this world is outstandingly beautiful? Is there anyone here? You can't say that, right? Okay. In the same way, think about it. There are also outstandingly intelligent people. In your own class, ask yourself. Go to your class and see. There will always be people who have such intelligence, they will be ahead of all the boys. You will see that. Their thinking level is so high. Sometimes even in a very short time, they gulp down the books. They are very smart. Similarly, there are boys who have outstanding strength also. Like you see weightlifters, sometimes we see in the television sometimes, right? They lift 250 pounds and all that. Such a hefty body. You know, our body is not even 1/4 of that. They have like elephantine bodies, right? Are they not outstandingly strong? Or sometimes you see boxers boxing, or weightlifters lifting such heavy weights. We can't even dream of moving those weights. But they are lifting such heavy weights. We see that. Similarly, there are people who are outstandingly rich, stinking rich. Like the other day, I had gone to this Chabria's house. So I was telling him. So he was telling me, why don't you come to our Ratnagiri College and give a youth program? So, I asked him, sir, how long it takes to go from here by train? He said, I don't know. I generally go by my, you know, chartered plane. I just reach in half an hour, he was telling. So, he goes here and there by his chartered plane, wherever he wants to go. He's thinking rich man. Like Reliance, they have 20,000 crores. Hinduja, they have 47,000 crores. So, for us, you know, we may be struggling to earn monthly 30,000-40,000 rupees. But there are people who are thinking rich, outstandingly rich. And you can't deny that. There are people who are lakhpatis, there are crorepatis, there are arabpatis, there are karabpatis. So certainly there must be Lakshmipati. You know? Otherwise, how there are people richer and richer like this? You know? So this world is not some flotsam and jetsam that is floating in the sky. In this world, there are definite qualities you can see around you. You can see people outstandingly beautiful, outstandingly intelligent, outstandingly strong, outstandingly rich, outstandingly famous, outstandingly renounced. There are people who are completely renounced in this world. And people wonder how this person, how he is totally renounced. He is living with such simple clothes and simple food. He doesn't want anything of the world and still he is so joyful. So we see all these qualities around us. So scriptures say that all these outstanding qualities you see, they are in unlimited proportion in the Supreme God. Whatever name you want to call it, you call it. You may call it Yahweh, or you can call it Allah. You know what is the meaning of Allah? La ilaha illallah means there is no one equal to him. That is La ilaha illallah. It is true. Natat samascha vyadikascha drishyate. There is no one equal to him. He has unsurpassable beauty. He has unsurpassable strength. He has unsurpassable fame. Everything. All the six opulences. So, one who possesses all the six opulences in full is called as Krishna. And we are all his lovers. All of us in different roles as covered boys or covered girls or in parental role, in different roles in the spiritual world. Now we have left our role, the eternal lovable role with God, and we have become disconnected from God by coming to this world. You see, why are we suffering? Just like this hand, you know, as long as it is connected to the body, it has so many potencies. Like if something falls on me, I can prevent it with my hand. I can count with my fingers. Or I can grasp an object with my hand. Or if somebody comes to harm me, I can hit him back. So hand has so many potencies. But you cut off the hand and you keep it on a table. What can the hand do? Hand can't do anything. It cannot even budge an inch because it is disconnected. So all of us at the current moment are disconnected from God. That's why you are suffering. When you're connected back, you will be extremely potent and very powerful. Now why are we feeling boredom? Why are we feeling frustrated? Why are we feeling stressed? Why are we feeling that life has no meaning? Why are we finding the world full of gloom? Or why are we trying to give meaning to this material life of this flapping slab of flesh, this material body, which is simply destined to become a pile of ashes one day? Why are we trying to derive some meaning from this flesh, which is like the dog beating the fiber to taste the coconut? We are trying to do that. Because we are ignorant, we are cut off from God. So Krishna consciousness movement was started by Prabhupada so that we connect ourselves back to God, back to Krishna. Krishna has the real juice of all these opulences. He is rasa vigraha. You connect yourself, then you will feel the true joy. And this can be experienced even by a very, very new devotee, one who has just recently come. You start chanting Hare Krishna, you follow the regulative principles, come in the company of devotees, study the literatures. It is so scientific, so logical, well presented. And like for example, in Pune, they have a laughing club, you know, where people come, they strenuously laugh for no good reason. Yeah, isn't it? Whereas here, Chaitanya Charanprabhu made all of you laugh so much today with a sensible humor, isn't it? It makes sense. Because the soul by nature is full of humor. Similarly, I went to this Bajaj Auto Company. I saw they were giving a stress management seminar where they made all the managers stand up. And they said, now you have to forget that you are managers. You all have to think that now you are children. So you raise your hands and everyone raised their hands. Now you jump up and down. And they made all of them with their coat, suit, tie, everything, jump up and down. Yeah. And they told them, now you dance. Run from one part of the room to other part of the room. The managers were asking, what are you doing with us? And the stress management seminar presenter was telling them, I want to bring out the child in you. You all have innocence, but now you have lost your innocence by becoming foolish adults. Because, you know, the children are generally very innocent and they are always excited about life. But when you become adult, you are brooding over the past and worrying about the future. So he was telling them, forget about your adult age. Now you have to imagine that you are a child. And all those poor managers are struggling to think they are children. They were jumping up and down. So, when I saw that, I was thinking, In our movement, we don't make fools out of people. We dance. But we dance for whom? We dance for the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, for the Supreme Lord. Now, you may think Radha and Krishna are too far-fetched. How can I understand Lakshmi Narayan or Sitarama or Radha Krishna? If you can't understand them, think of your own mother and father. Don't you love your mother and father? Why you have your mother and father? Because we could not love the ultimate mother and father. We have been given a local mother and father. But Radha and Krishna are a global mother and father for everyone. Even they are mother and father of your mother and father also. They are the ultimate mother and father. So we all have love for our immediate parents. But unfortunately, our immediate parents and we ourselves keep on changing our situation. Like your parents will be with you for 70, 80 years. And you will be with them. Then we die and we go to another body. And they die and they go to another body. Then they get new parents and you get new parents. So we have to keep on changing our parents. Ultimately up to the point when you get to the lotus feet of your ultimate parent. When you understand Radha Krishna to be your ultimate parents, then you have no more birth to take. Then you return back to the spiritual world. So faith in the spiritual world is not some imaginative thing. You have to study the scriptures, practice the scriptures, apply them in your life. And then it is something that faith will develop in your heart. And the realization will come in your heart. And when you live that life, you will experience that true joy. And then the spiritual world will no more be imagination for you. It will be a tangible reality for you. In fact, faith means to see the invisible, to experience the intangible. That is faith. And you can do that only by spirituality, only by taking the spirituality. And we are not the only ones, Indians, doing it. All over the world, there are people who have read Srila Prabhupada's books and they have got awakened to the reality. It's like coming out of a cinema theater. When you come out of the cinema theater, you understand, oh, all these 4 hours I was watching movie, I was in grand illusion. Now I have to go for my job, I have so many duties to family. You get awakened. In the same way, this material world also is a kind of drama stage. When you awaken in spiritual life, then you awaken to the spiritual reality. So, Chanchan Prabhu's interpretation of Harry Potter was marvelous. Actually, I can tell you, nobody can give you this kind of outlook, the right outlook to life. Because majority of the world is submerged in grand illusion. And even the so-called educators are perpetuating illusion. They are not bringing out of illusion. So all of you are extremely fortunate to be here today, hearing this lecture on how we are all trying to be attacked by illusion of the world. And that too in such a most decent way, nicely written novel that is trying to capture your attention and steal you, steal the Krishna consciousness in you and cover it up with the illusion of this world. So we have to come out of the illusion. Srila Prabhupada was talking this morning, I was reading, between education and culture. Prabhupada said, our education is meant for bringing you to culture. He gave an example. Chanakya says, Matravat Paradareshu. You should treat every woman who is other man's wife to be your mother. This is education. And what is culture? Culture means you have to practice it. No one should try to misbehave with another woman. Every woman should be considered as a mother. So we teach the principle of no illicit sex, which means no sex outside marriage or before marriage. And Prabhupada says, what is a modern education teaching? Every boy who is going to a college is hunting for a girl. Right from the first year he goes, he's looking for which girl can I hunt and try to bring her to my side. What kind of education is that? Prabhupada says, this is piggish civilization. A pig doesn't know what is he eating. He eats anything that comes his way. And he mates with anyone who comes in the way. So this is dogish and piggish civilization. And what is this education? So this education doesn't produce, it doesn't form character. Then Prabhupada is saying, education also means amanitvam. Amanitvam means humility. What is humility? Education should make you feel humble. Just like when a tree becomes loaded with fruits, it bows down. In the same way, when you become educated, you are supposed to become humble towards your elders. But modern education makes all the students raise their nose like anti-aircraft gun. Like this. They're very proud. Prabhupada says, what is the use of such education? They only become more arrogant. They have no respect for the elders. For the parents and for the grandparents and for the teachers, there is no regard for the teachers. What is the use? So, here when you all come on Saturday, every Saturday is a learning experience for you. You come to know, you come one step closer to the ultimate truth. And I also request all of you to read Srila Prabhupada's books, where Srila Prabhupada very powerfully, wakes up the sleeping living entities. He will bring us out of illusion and reveal the reality. You don't have to accept anything blindly. You have the right to ask questions. Just like you were all asking several questions to Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. You have the right to ask questions. And you see for yourself. Don't put faith in anyone in this world. You analyze the truth. Apply the truth. Practice it for yourself. If you are convinced, then you take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you don't have to take to it. You can go wherever you want. After analyzing, if you feel that what we are telling is, we are trying to impose some truth on you, then you don't have to come here. You can go where, whomever you feel is giving you truth, you can go there. Prabhupada gave this freedom to all the practitioners. Because like myself and Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, we are all serving here in the ashram completely voluntarily. There's no one to force us. You know, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he was a state topper in GRE. Probably he would be in US studying in some top university. Why he has dedicated his life? Out of his own free will. After having understood spiritual reality, for propagating the truth, has dedicated his life. So, the truth is like sunlight. Nobody can hide it. Nobody can hide it. No matter how much scientists, atheistic people may try to hide the truth, they cannot hide it. Truth speaks for itself. And if you come out of the dark room to see the sunlight, you will get to see it. So don't keep yourself in the cozy illusion of this world. Take the time and trouble and energy to come out and hear the truth. Pay audience to the truth. Then your life will be transformed. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita specifically to Arjuna. Do you know why? Arjuna is not a sannyasi. Arjuna was a family man. Why he spoke? So that the modern man will not blame, saying that this is not for us. Bhagavad Gita is for sadhus. No. Krishna says Bhagavad Gita is for you and me, for everyone. That's why he spoke to a family man with wife and children. And he showed the world that Arjuna can practice Bhagavad Gita. So in the same manner, all of you, you are also like a warrior, like Arjuna. In the modern times, there is a cutthroat competition. You have to survive in the world. You also have your duties of studying. Some of you are working. You have your duties to family and relatives. So while doing this duty, do not forget your ultimate goal. Like Arjuna combined his devotion with his duties. So, your purpose of coming here every week is to learn this glorious and natural path of Krishna consciousness. When I see myself dancing and others dancing, I understand we are dancing for the ultimate hero and the ultimate heroine. It's very meaningful. People sometimes dance in Bharat for their own son or sometimes for their own brother. People dance. But we are dancing for the ultimate person and there is no one beyond him. So, understanding of Krishna will not come overnight. You have to study the books carefully, analyze it, ask questions, and undergo the courses that you are all undergoing in the respective colleges, college programs, and you will see that it is very logical. Americans, you know, whatever they accept, they don't accept blindly. They always ask questions. Like you see Americans, when they took to spiritual life, they took to it so firmly. And now they are traveling all over the world and preaching. Many of the Americans and Canadians and Europeans, they are preaching. And we Indians, born in India, we have a very great duty in our lives. Not only to understand and practice, but also to give it to our friends and relatives, to as many people as possible. I heard today that there are 42 students who have come from AIT college. Please raise your hands. You see, we would like to give them a loud Hari Bol. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari. See, AITians are setting an example for all of us. You see, they are one of the farthest colleges from the temple. How far away it is? It's about 1 hour? Yeah, almost an hour. See, they have come all the way from there to attend this program. So this is the meaning of enthusiasm. And I would like to see a similar enthusiasm from every other college also, come in large numbers, because now this hall is almost getting full. And we are coming up with a new temple where we can have 2,500 people to 3,000 people. We'll have a much big auditorium. And you can bring any number of people you want to bring. And in this way, I am very confident by seeing your response to this program, that if all of you brilliant devotees, you understand this philosophy properly and practice it, I am very, very confident that in each college, we can create a great spiritual wave, which will bring about the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya, that in the coming 10,000 years, Krishna consciousness movement will go to the peak. It will practically, wherever you go in the world, you will find people with tilak and kantimala dancing and chanting. The whole world is going to get transformed into a world of Krishna consciousness. And all of you are warriors who are going to make it happen, make it true. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.